So, there's this weird thing about having a platform now, because I used to, just unscripted, unedited, ladies and gentlemen. I used to think things about movies, and I never actually said them out loud, right? I wouldn't want to overwhelm people, and now here I am, and I'm gonna say them out loud, and whether or not you want to hear them is entirely up to you. You can find them boring, or you can find them interesting, but so it's Saturday night, at 11:53 at night, and I got to thinking about the movie that I had taken the kids to tonight, right? Did the whole thing as per usual, right? I mean, okay, so me and the kids got pizza, right? Had a grand old time singing in the car as usual, and got to the movie theater, picked out candy five or six times, because decisions, decisions, and they have an ice cream cooler now, so there's always the possibility of ice cream. And finally ended up getting the same thing we always get, including Dad's large bucket of popcorn with butter and large soda, because I had been fasting all day and making sure that I had calories and saturated fats, that hadn't been had during the day so that I could have my popcorn. But anyway, I took the kids to see Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hank. And you're like, yeah, Nick, this is why I pay for your Patreon, so that I can listen to reviews or thoughts or intellectual aspersions about PG-rated films. But this one caught me kind of weird. I didn't do a review on Lightyear. I didn't do a review on Minions 2 or Boss Baby 2 or, what was the other one we watched this weekend? Zombies 3 on Disney Plus, right? But I am gonna give a couple of minutes to Paws of Fury because of what happened, right? So we go, right? Movie theater feels fantastic, but my daughter's in a hoodie because it's so cold, Dad. But outside it's 92 degrees and the humidity is 78%. And I went in expecting a dopey animated movie, right? I, as an adult, I don't expect much. Cheap laugh here or there, but what ended up happening was I perked up, made it through the movie paying close attention, and made the kids stay for the credits. Not because I cared if there was a post-credit scene, but because I was looking for a couple of credits in particular that, you know what, eventually did in fact appear on screen, causing me to chuckle, but kind of leaving my kids confused. And all I could think to myself was, well, good to see that Richard Pryor is still in the game. It was kind of like an inside joke. It was the inside joke of it all, I guess. The quiet parts said out loud, by scenes I had seen played out before. The story was easy to follow because I had seen it. A young outsider, about to be put to death, is pardoned by the local governor and made law enforcement of a quaint little town. Couldn't, make him a black man who'd clubbed his foreman near to death. Definitely not in a PG movie about dogs and cats. I get that. So they made Hank, the dog, simply a border jumper, an illegal immigrant. An illegal immigrant being put to death. for simply being the other in a society. So said outsider goes to protect and serve in a town that explicitly states that they don't allow his kind. They accept him anyways, and he is taken under the reluctant wing of the town drunk, who is sleeping it off in one of the cells of the house / office that Hank is given. Distilled catnip liquor is a hell of a drug in the world of Paws of Fury. Since the town doesn't get rid of Hank, the governor, who sent him there to ruin the town, well, he decides he's got to send a heavy hitter, so he sends a sumo cat. You know, big, round, larger than all the other cats, in the diaper, the traditional sumo wrestler diaper. And he rides into town on a boar, of all things, to rough up the town. You know, Hank and the town drunk dispatch him and eventually befriend the sumo wrestler, going so far as to save him later on when he's captured by the governor's evil forces. After falling out with the town in an act of heroism, the governor decides to take matters into his own hands and raises an army of mercenaries to attack the town, but Hank and the townsfolk have prepared for the invasion. They recreated the town in paper, hiding explosives for just the right moment until that gang of mercenaries is in the center of the town and can't escape. The fight doesn't spill over into the back lot at Warner Brothers or interrupt other movie sets, but it does amuse in other ways. Eventually, all is saved. The Shogun of the cat-populated country, played in an age of racially accurate casting by Mel Brooks, of all people, gets to name the samurai of the town, and riding off into the sunset, is allowed to say the line, "It's good to be the Shogun." If you haven't caught it by now, let me spell it out. Paws of Fury was a PG animated remake of Blazing Saddles. It was so apparent that I started waiting for callbacks I never got. Stuff that wouldn't have translated to the demographic the movie was built for, while getting jokes I couldn't believe they got in. Sumo isn't taken out by an exploding candygram. I don't even know if kids would even know what a candygram is. But they got the beans fart joke in, you know, sort of, after a fashion. There was no Lily von Stupp, but Ricky Gervais's character was the evil governor, whose name was Ika Chu, and everyone got his name wrong. Hedley Lamarr. They didn't have the final confrontation result in a cross-studio brawl, but man, if I had a dollar for every time they broke the fourth wall in this movie, I'd have got my money back from the ticket purchase. But then something else happened. They came up with new jokes, new sight gags, new ways of making me smirk, not laugh out loud the way the Blazing Saddles did. Back when I first saw it, back when I was 15 and coming up and didn't really know what humor was. But this wasn't Blazing Saddles. Then again, originally, it wasn't Paws of Fury either. Originally, it was Blazing Samurai. A title that would have made so much more sense given the fact that they sing it and they bury it and they say it on multiple occasions to the point where they actually freeze frame and put it as a title underneath something so that you catch it. This movie was conceived back in 2010. Once upon a time, it had Chris Rock attached. It was going to always be animated, but back then it was about a black samurai assigned to a town as its law enforcement. a lot of the information that gets talked about in the mix, the toss arounds, the multiple companies that got attached and helped fund, the slew of writers and producers and directors, but at the center of it lies a skeleton from Hollywood long past. It's a ghost that seems to have haunted the most unlikely of places. And nowhere is that more apparent than when the film credits display "Based on Blazing Saddles" by Mel Brooks, Norman Stringberg, Andrew Bergman, Richard Pryor, and Alan Unger. Now the pedigree is sound. Brooks gets a role, and an executive producer credit in Blazing Saddles gets mentioned in all the interviews, no matter how much the director and producer shy away from it, and they do. If you read any of the press that came out around the movie's release, it comes up by name, and the writers and producers make sure to clear themselves of it as quick as possible. Dumb it down. Push it. Compartmentalize it. And that's a damn shame. The animation is lacking, right? There's something subtle to it all, subdued in a summer where I've seen Buzz Lightyear break light speed and fight Zurg to the death, and Thor battle God the Gore, not editing, and seen Thor battle Gore the God Butcher on a planet bereft of color. And everyone in animation and other studios should be so grateful right now. Like, they should be thanking their lucky stars. They really should. The cast, oh my God, the cast was stellar. The marketing was so quiet. The whole production passed through so many hands that the title cards for all the companies involved nearly took as long as the previews we sat through to get to the actual movie. Of course, the cast was A-list. I'd show up to read Mel Brooks too, wouldn't you? I mean, if you told me that you were going to make an animated version of Blazing Saddles so that they could adapt it for this day and age, I would be down. By now, it doesn't matter. By now, the press will pick up the story or leave it alone. You know, it'll get buried underneath Thor and that movie about the crawdads, right? Because it was just some rinky-dink animated film. It's going to flounder at the box office. Perhaps it'll make its money back in digital or ad revenue for cable TV, but it should be a sigh of relief for other studios. Because in the slew of kids' movies I've gotten through, this movie was something those others was not. It was an actual comedy. Lightyear was Pixar at its best. Beautiful and story-driven, and it had action and heart, and it made you think, right? Minions 2 was slapstick and visual. Huge budget. I mean, they don't spare any expense when it comes to those movies. And it was applied strategically to what was a wafer-thin plot. Zombies 3, which, you know, as I said before, I watched with the kids this weekend, was a competent musical with plot beats that read as the only logical conclusion to the story that they had been telling since Zombies 1. Yes, I've seen the entire trilogy. Paws of Fury could have challenged them all based on the fact that it was a remake of Hollywood Gold. But because genuine comedy, written in any genre, well can tell a story and apply a moral without a need for slowing down. Blazing Saddles made fun of racism, of the racists, of Western expansion, of political chicanery, and moral relativism without missing a single beat. It didn't slow down. It didn't pull its punches. It didn't try to dumb itself down. Paws of Fury did the same thing And it did it so it could fit into an animated format for a PG audience. Had it been successful, had it had the weekend, Hollywood would have had to question whether or not it was as funny as Mel Brooks, while being as subtly subversive. And I don't think that Hollywood could stand up to that litmus test in this day and age. You know? That just... the whole thing. The way it moved was just... it was hackneyed. And the animation was embarrassing. But you look at the cast that came on board to a production that ended up getting buried from a larger organization down into Nickelodeon and spread over 8 different production companies so that the costs would be minimalized when people started losing their shirts on it. If it had been given the time of day, if people had actually stopped and thought to themselves, oh my God, we're going to try to bring it back up to Mel Brooks' level. I don't know if any of the movies in that genre would have been able to make it. I don't know. But part of me would have liked to find out. And so those are my thoughts. When it comes to Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hank, a truly ridiculous movie which had a better title and a better pedigree than what it actually ended up. And so this is Nick, the Forge Bear, talking way too long about a really bad animated movie with a really great script, which could have done so much more. Hopefully I didn't put you guys to sleep. Have fun storming the castle, guys.